Hey, welcome to the Ad Chronicles podcast. I'm your host, Kyle James, and today we're going to be talking about how a digital marketing company called Orbit Media Studios is using AI inside of their own business. And we'll share the exact steps that you can take in order to implement AI for yourself. Now, before we dive into that, listen closely. Are you looking to implement AI inside of your own company, or maybe just struggling to get your AI to stop hallucinating? Speak to GPT Trainer. GPT Trainer literally builds out and manages your AI for you, eliminating hallucinations for good. Go to gpt-trainer.com. I promise you, it'll be the biggest time-saving decision that you've made all year. Trying to set up AI on your own is like trying to build a house from scratch. Sure, you could do it, but the time and frustration it's going to take you to get it finished, it may not be worth it. It's 1,000 times faster and safer to hire professionals. Schedule a consultation today. Once again, that's gpt-trainer.com. Today, I have with me on the show Andy Crestodina, who is the co-founder and CMO of Orbit Media, a web development and website optimization agency. He's done over 24 years of content marketing, SEO, and analytics, and 2.4 years, I love that, of AI. So excited to have Andy on the show. Hey, Andy, welcome in.
Thanks for having me, Kyle. Looking forward to this.
Yeah, for sure, man. So tell us a little bit about like Orbit Media Studios. Like, how did you find the company? Obviously, you got a lot of experience in the SEO and content world. So give us some background there for the audience.
Sure. January 1st of 2000, I quit the day job. And by April of 2001, it was just me and my co-founder, friend from high school, roommate from college, Barrett. He was already building websites since like the mid-90s. And I was obsessed. I just wanted to combine art and science and make things that were both creative and technical and use both halves of my brain. So right away, started, you know, building websites, realized I needed to understand SEO and analytics and conversion. We didn't call it that, but visitor psychology, lead generation. And once that started to work, we started to attract our own leads instead of just being an outsourced agency to other companies, and grew organically ever since. I've never bought an ad. This is one of those many brands that have grown totally on content and inbound strategies. So 24 years later, we're a team of 53. We built a lot of high-performing B2B lead gen sites for companies with big expectations for inbound leads. And this is an AI, of course, we're in the bullseye for a lot of the job titles and categories where there's AI opportunity. So when this came along, I just knew I had to like invest a lot of time in research and experimentation and learning. So yeah, I give AI presentations sometimes twice a day. I teach workshops on AI at a lot of conferences. I'm speaking at AI conferences. So just to completely dedicated myself to learning as much as I could about this, as your audience, I'm sure, is kind of focused on as well. And yeah, happy to share all my favorite use cases and methods and do's and don'ts. This should be fun.
Yeah. So talking a little bit about, 24 years in the business, like you've seen kind of before AI and then obviously post AI, like what would you say is kind of like maybe the biggest change since AI has been introduced into this world of marketing?
Sure. Well, as an SEO, there's just disruption. Like SEOs are really freaked out about the drop in organic click-through rates, but that's been going on since long before AI. People also ask box and feature snippets and knowledge panels and the video carousel have reduced click-through rates. AI overview is just like another nail in that coffin. It's rough. I know from my data and my clients' data, I have access to like 500 analytics accounts, is that that's mostly affecting information intent queries, people looking for answers and content programs. Traffic to and click-through rates to websites for the commercial intent queries, people looking to research an option, research a partner, those are much, much less disrupted. So that's one of the big changes. Workflow changes, of course. There's infinite use cases for AI. And so I do a lot of teaching and speaking on topics for like using AI to improve conversion rates, maximizing the percentage of visitors who become leads, using AI to research target audiences and better understand and like do data-driven empathy. AI to rank higher in traditional search, AI to be discovered in AI responses in the LLMs themselves. So there's at least four big topics. And so it can be a bit overwhelming, but this is a time of opportunity if you got the right attitude.
Yeah, for sure. So you obviously speaking a lot of different engagements so far. And like what has been kind of like, especially on the AI front, right? Like what's been kind of the most, I don't know if it's like types of questions that you're getting a lot from people or maybe concerns, like what are some of those key things where like, man, I've noticed that people are leaning towards this, or I noticed they're asking a lot about this in the AI space. What would you say that particular thing might be?
accuracy. GPT trainer, you mentioned, like, you know, you can have hallucinations, but a lot of people are just worried about it. I do an annual survey of 1,000 marketers, and I've got maybe 200 responses right now. And you can see the biggest concerns are accuracy and sort of just like lack of originality. I address that in my use cases by simply using it to do performance analysis and audits. And the way I teach it, it's like, first, train AI on your target audience, because before you've done that, you don't, you know, your content's not really targeted. Teach it the target, and then it's targeted. And then once you have that persona, you can give it things like full page screenshots of your homepage or your key pages or your landing pages or proposals or anything, and just ask it what's missing. In other words, I'm not very interested in using AI to find efficiencies. I'm very, very interested in using AI to find deficiencies, find gaps, persona-driven gap analysis, because there's already people on your website right now, like as we speak, right? They're flowing through your pages. What questions haven't you answered? What objections did you leave unaddressed? Which marketing claims did you make that were unsupported with evidence, testimonials, data, case studies, logos? These are amazing ways to use AI that completely avoid any concern about accuracy, because you're just getting a point of view. Go through it, decide what makes sense, disregard 80% of it if it's not useful to you. But that is AI for driving outcomes. And it's a different perspective, I think, than people expect to hear. But that's been the most useful use of AI so far for me.
Yeah. So it's almost like in this case, like training the first starting off, right? Because I think a lot of people are using ChatGPT and other large language models. But in this case, it's like, hey, train it on your business specifically. Like train it on your ICP, train it on your marketing message, your offers, like train it all on that. And then from there, like it can give a little bit more of a targeted approach to one, your business, but even like taking that same concept and applying it to your customers and your clients that you're working with. Because obviously if you do it for your business, then you can do it for other businesses too.
Sure. Yeah.
As far as like specifically though, I mean, that's one example. Like what specific challenges like are you find yourself trying to solve for a lot of your clients today? And like, and how does AI fit in that, in between that there?
Yeah, I think a lot of people haven't yet figured out that AI is in fact a better way to write prompts than writing them by hand. So where I used to just say, you know, you're a content strategist and, you know, your job is to improve the quality of this piece of content I wrote. Content best practices include these 11 things, whatever, these 10 things or 6 things. They have good internal linking. They are highly structured with subheads. They have visuals at every scroll depth. They have a personal point of view. And I'd write a prompt. Now, I find that it's far more useful to just say, AI, your goal is to write a reusable prompt that audits content for best practices. Here are content best practices. And then it writes a prompt that's like way better than I would have made myself. Like it's structured. It gives like sections that I wouldn't have done. And it's got like tables. So that is a fantastic way to use AI and becomes a big unlock. Beyond that, I think a lot of people haven't yet realized just how much you can give it. Like just upload things to it, get a point of view from it, and use that to produce a better deliverable, whatever that might be. These are things that I think are how people move up the learning curve. And when the emotions in the marketer change from like disruption to opportunity, the more you know, the better your skills are with these tools, the more effective you become at using them, the more this era just the more exciting things are, the less stressful things are.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. And like with the kind of like in your process, and this could be like both internally, kind of like with your own team, but even like externally with a lot of your clients you're working with, like what's that step-by-step process that either on the AI front or even just like working with them, like utilizing AI, like what have you seen and what's that process look like?
Because they have like infinite use cases, I think some of the people who are the best at this just simply break down their normal workflow. So I saw a slide at an event when someone said, just like put a post-it note on your screen that says, could AI help me with this? So workflows have multiple steps. So let's say I'm building a high-performing page. What does that involve? Well, I need to understand the target audience. Okay, we do that with stakeholder interviews. Step two, I need to construct an outline that roughly aligns with their prioritized information needs. Great. Step three, I need to make sure all these claims are supported by evidence. So each of these steps in a workflow, that was a quick example, have AI prompts and methods that can help with that. The next thing you realize is once you have like strong, effective, tested, reusable prompts, you can then combine those into an automation, a Gemini Gem, a Claude Project, or a custom GPT, an OpenAI custom GPT. And that becomes a tool where like, you suddenly realize, like, I just sort of made software. Like, I built a system. This can be shared. We just got forever smarter and more effective. So those are things that if you go from standard operating procedures to one-shot prompts to reusable prompts to automations, and then from automations one day, like, these will probably evolve into agents and we'll all end up being AI bosses over, you know, both humans and agents, and each one, you know, is doing a different job.
Yeah, I just literally picture this scene in a world where, like, every person's a manager now. We're just managing a bunch of AI and having them work like a bunch of, like, you know, ants running around an ant bed.
Check their work. Did they do a good job? You know, do you need different inputs? Hey, you know, I need this output in a different format. Hey, I need you to work with that other agent now. So how do I connect you to?
Yeah, like, even, like, you think, like, the manufacturing business, right? Like, all the machines, like, that's kind of what humans have been, like, in a sense, is doing, is like, hey, they're just overseeing these massive machines and making sure they're working. And then if there's any issues, then they can repair them, fix them, control them if they need to. It's like almost like no differently here. AI is kind of the same concept. It's a machine, but just more of an intelligence, and we manage it as humans. Hopefully, it's just us managing it. So what types of, like, results would you say you've been seeing so far since, like, both implementing AI internally and then maybe externally that's, you know, maybe worth mentioning that you think is valuable?
Sure. Well, it's a big topic and it's a bit uncertain yet, but I am tracking traffic from AI to my website. There's gaps in that, but I build GA4 reports that show me which traffic came from which model to which landing page. Any improvement to any page to fill gaps and answer questions, address objections, these are reflected in your key event rate in Google Analytics, although I still call it just the conversion rate. There are use cases that will do things for you that really are impossible for a human to do. Like, once you have a persona, you can ask AI, like, what is the most important thing that this my target audience doesn't know? A human can't really get that from a stakeholder interview. Or, what are the most important topics in my industry that are never covered by the big blogs? A human can't really do that. You can't read every article. So there again, gap analysis. So it can improve your content strategy. It can improve engagement in social media when you find those interesting, provocative topics. Conversion rates on websites. Click-through rates on calls to action. I have a prompt that audits called CTAs. It can improve email sign-up rates and grow your list by writing better email sign-up CTAs and newsletter subscriber boxes. So all of these are about results. I'm not really measuring time savings in AI. I know there's people who say, like, this will unlock infinite time. I get that. I think that comes later. If you focus on performance and you create reasonable prompts and automations, in the end, you'll have huge efficiency. I sometimes generate two personas at the same time, like on two different screens. Like, a human couldn't do that. But the specific measurable outcomes are in the context of the use case and the goal of using AI in that minute.
Yeah, for sure. So you mentioned one thing. You mentioned, like, kind of towards the beginning of the podcast here. You talked about, like, the gaps, like, identify gaps. I think there's, like, a lot of, like, people who are like, okay, how do I make it better, right? How do I make my process better, my systems better? But in this case, you're like, hey, let's look at the gaps. Like, why do you feel like it's, like, identifying the gaps is more important than, say, like, you know, getting better? Because I think a lot of companies are like, hey, what do I spend my time? Like, how are they going to get the best ROI that you would suggest, like, by focusing on the gaps versus maybe the other side of it?
Yeah, well, in a user's experience on a website, on a page, the likelihood of that person taking action, clicking the CTA and becoming a lead is largely a function of whether or not that page was satisfying to them. Were there any unanswered questions? Did you skip something? Did you miss something? I've never seen a page that didn't have huge opportunities. I did one this morning. It's like, oh, the buyer is like a job site project manager, project engineer for construction. They need to see certifications. They need to see that you have ongoing support. Like, this is like for a manufacturer, like HVAC or something. This page will work harder without generating any more, without more traffic, just by making sure that that page is satisfying to the visitor and meets their needs. The job of the digital marketer on key service pages for lead generation and in content for engagement and audience growth is all about satisfying information needs. So it's very, very hard for a human brain to spot what's missing. You know, it's like, just look around the room and say what's not here. Like, our brains don't really work that way. So gap analysis, also effective for internal processes. You could give it your email drip sequence and say, what's the most important email not here? You could give it a social post and say, you know, where did I miss any opportunities to trigger emotion or intrigue or curiosity? Whatever it is you made, your sales deck, your keyword strategy, you know, your marketing strategy, whatever it is, even a single prompt, how could you make this a better prompt? It's just whatever it is, it just becomes this like amazing Swiss Army knife for improving any single thing, public or internal. Why wouldn't you do that? I think that is really the moment when some marketers are really going to pull ahead because they just changed their thinking a little bit.
Yeah, I think that's such a great strategy, though, is like, I mean, because I think we're all using AI at this point, but like we all take kind of different approaches and angles as to like how we're using the AI. In this case, like, I love how you're like, hey, identify these gaps. Like, what am I missing? Like, I know what I have, like, what am I missing? That's maybe a key element. Cause like that, I feel like those hidden gaps that are in there, like that can be a big barrier in the long run, because you're like, wait, why didn't the campaign go well? Hey, you're missing a key element here that needs to be in there. I think that's a really cool strategy that you and your team are doing, Andy. And as we transition here, like, what do you feel like, especially stepping into these next couple of years, so much has changed, so much change has happened, but what are some of those upcoming AI initiatives, and like, where do you see AI playing maybe the biggest role in your operations next?
Well, I find that one of the things that I'm noticing is that the exports from a lot of my tools are not giving me structured data, and that's pretty frustrating. You know, so I have this amazing way to find interesting correlations between LinkedIn activity and outcomes. Which are the topics, when you talk about them on LinkedIn, grow your following? Which ones create comments and which ones cause, you know, these certain outcomes? If you export your data from LinkedIn and upload it to AI, it'll tell you. But to do that, you have to really spend, like, I'm not kidding, it took me 90 minutes to turn this output from LinkedIn into a structured data CSV file. I had to manually tag all the topics and all that stuff. So that's a big difference. And that I hope will improve, because whatever tool you use, if it's got an export button, you've got an analysis opportunity, but you might need to have this intermediate step where you, I think, best just manually clean up data. Another one is, are marketers going to all start building their own custom GPTs and automations? That's one of my big questions, and I'm not sure, but it's looking like yes. A lot of people are quickly spinning up automations. I encourage everyone to experiment. That's the time we're living in right now. But test, run these things side by side. Use it, be critical, don't trust it. So, you know, they say English is the hot new programming language, just like programmers build, you know, write code that need to be debugged. Anyone doing prompts needs to run that prompt side by side with the first draft of it, and just see if you're making it better. So I'm very critical of AI, and I always go back and tell it to keep improving, because lots of times the first shot really didn't get me where I wanted to go.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I appreciate your perspective on that, Andy. And as we start wrapping this up, this conversation, like, where can people go maybe to learn a little bit more about you, and then maybe a little bit more about Orbit Media Studios that you'd recommend?
Well, my best social network is LinkedIn. LinkedIn has emerged as kind of the best place for business and networking and content. So Andy Crestedina on LinkedIn. You can, there's a blue follow button. If you find the contact or the connect button and just mention that you heard me here, I'm happy to accept and we can chat then. Orbitmedia.com is the website. Looking at that, you'll get a sense for the ways in which pages fill gaps and support their claims of evidence. But also, the Orbit Media blog is where I publish first. I've written one article there every 2 weeks since 2007. And a lot of my new articles are filled with prompts and AI use cases.
Cool. Awesome. Love it so much. Thanks so much, Andy, man. It's great having you on the show today. And definitely let's keep in touch. Hopefully we'll have you on the show in the future. And we'll have another good time, I would say.
And thanks, Kyle.
Thanks for everybody for listening in. Remember, if you're looking to implement AI into your business today, please don't try and do it yourself. The time and stress the AI could cause, it may not be worth it. Schedule a call with GPT Trainer. Let them build out and manage your AI for you. Once again, that's GPT-Trainer. Signing off for now. Thanks so much, everybody, for listening in. Looking forward to seeing everyone on the next episode of AI Chronicles.